Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
Horns up, metalheads. Welcome to episode 3 of Radioactive Metal's Metal Lunch Break. The whole point of this episode is to be 30 minutes or less, get some quick news on your lunch break, and get a preview, a little teaser, of what's coming up on Friday for the big release, or hear it first at purerockradio.net on Thursday evening. So my guest today is Suzanne DeCree of DeGregorio. Son of a gun. I'm already off to a rollicking start. How you doing, Sue?
I am great, and it's nice to know. It's nice to know that nothing's changed.
No, I know. So House of Gregory is the project,
okay,
that's the album, right?
So House of Gregory is technically the album, but here's kind of the backstory, and I know you know part of the backstory.
Yeah.
But my grandfather, Giovanni DeGregorio, came over through Ellis Island, and I don't remember what the question was, you know, give or take. Pick your family urban legend here. But he said he wanted to do something. They said, you need a legal decree. And my grandfather said, okay, my name's a decree. And we were decrees ever since. So DeGregorio is actually the real last name of my family. And ironically, it translates to roughly of the House of Gregory. So they're both really the same thing.
I do love that story. Like, and it just makes you think, how many things today happened because of, you know, a communication barrier with immigration, you know, and are still happening. It fascinates me. I love that story.
What the hell is going on this week? Here's the metal news.
All right. So into the news here. So first up, True Cult Coffee, longtime sponsor of Radioactive Metal, TRVEKVLTCoffee.com. Check them out because they are hosting a pop-up coffee bar at Odd Bodies in Dayton, Ohio, at the Goat Horse Show on Saturday, December 1st. So stop by. This is their second pop-up coffee bar. Kind of a big deal. They're starting to get into some of the metal shows, and this is working towards some goals for them. But, you know, subscribe to their mailing list, and you'll find out what those goals are. And so next up here, then, is Nuclear Blast. Sue, you familiar with Nuclear Blast Records?
I mean, I am the queen of symphonic metal, so of course I'm familiar with Nuclear Blast.
So check this out. So Nuclear Blast Records sent out something this week, and they're like, hey, you know, we're looking for people to try out an app. So hopefully I'm going to get to test this out. But they want to have their own app, and it's kind of interesting. Like, it's their own feed, so you keep track of 200 different metal artists or more, whatever, Instagram, basically one place to have all the social media, all the contact for a band, kind of like a website used to be before we splintered it with social media, Facebook, you know, Twitter, all that sort of stuff, right?
Right. So we've taken all of that, we've separated it, and now we've put it back together.
Exactly, right? Would that be like the T-2000 in Terminator 2, right?
Right, exactly. This is the T-2000 of apps.
Yeah, we split it apart, but it keeps coming back together. But so they're going to offer streaming bundles and then premium access. So the question is, would you pay for something like this?
So here's the thing. Personally, I would not. And here's why. Because I don't care. As horrible as that sounds. I'm not really into the social media aspect of like all the bands and stuff. As long as I know who's touring, when they're coming close enough for me to make a day trip, and when I can buy the album, that's all I'm interested in.
And I can get all that through Spotify, which I do pay for, but Spotify gives me way more than 200 artists.
And that is also a fair point. Now, as a metalhead, let me back up a second. As a symphonic metalhead, as a you know, gothic metalhead, symphonic metalhead, it's really hard for me to build a playlist on Spotify because every time I start doing something, or at least every time I used to try and do something with a female vocal, I ended up with like all of this acoustic folksy stuff, which was decidedly unmetal.
Okay. And that's going to kind of go into our next topic here a little bit. So let's table that, and we'll kind of touch on that here again. All right. So next up, Metalachi. Have you heard of Metalachi, Sue?
I believe the first time I heard of Metalachi was on episode, 252?
Maybe.
I think it was one of the episodes of your podcast, actually, okay, that I heard of Metalachi.
Well, that's great. So, Metalachi, I kind of dig this. It's a heavy metal mariachi band. I love the combination. You know, it's kind of like the traditional mariachi makeup, but they're in metal-ish kind of outfits. You know, if Judas Priest wore sombreros is kind of what it looks like to me. But they're great musicians. They're doing some neat stuff. I think they're on one of the different metal cruises coming up, possibly like the Mega Cruise. Mm-hmm. But so they released a new album, and they have a video out for their take on Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Very timely with the new, you know, Queen film just dropping over the weekend here.
Yes, yes.
So here's the tracks on this album, and I'm kind of excited. I'm going to call out just some of the really rather metal ones here. So for starters, you've got Welcome to the Jungle. Guns N' Roses. I kind of dig that. You know, it's nice.
And you
rock.
Can never go wrong with Welcome to the Jungle. Right. Never, ever.
Cotton Amash, Anthrax.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to hear this one because I'm a huge Anthrax fan. Judas Priest, Breaking the Law. So it kind of ties in with the, you know, Judas Priest and Sombreros thing.
Right.
And then probably one of my all-time favorite songs. This is the song that always got me into trouble when I listened to it. Like, you know, it's like Popeye's spinach for me. We're Not Going to Take It by Twisted Sister. I can't wait to hear that.
You know what? That has always been a guilty pleasure of mine. I've never been much of a Twisted Sister fan, I have to admit, but I do really like that song. That is definitely a guilty pleasure of mine.
It's just such a great rebellion anthem. Like, it's really a put your fist in the air and, you know, tears down some walls kind of thing. And then, of course, what rock and roll album would be complete without finishing with Rock and Roll Night? And again, very appropriate right now because Kiss has announced the End of the Road tour. Tour dates are popping up all the time. I'm trying to pick the city I'm going to go see them in and making my plans. And then, Sue, what was the news item you wanted to talk about today?
Well, I actually had a couple of quick ones. First of all, we may finally be seeing a turnaround for the music and the record label industry. The extreme metal-focused label, and I just lost it, Prophecy Productions, is now opening an American office. It is a German label. And they are taking a gamble, crossing the pond, and trying to open up into North America, which is, of course, the biggest metal market alongside of probably Germany and maybe some of your Icelandic regions. But it's one of the biggest markets for them, and they are trying to cross the pond. So, obviously, they are a business. They wouldn't be doing this unless there was a decent chance that they would make some money on it. So maybe the music industry is turning around. Maybe the record label industry is turning around. That might be a good sign.
And you know, that make my day. And I mean, I think it's just, it's evolving. I mean, the biggest thing, like I was having this conversation with somebody today. Think about 1990, right? Like I was just graduating high school. I was
listening to prog rock.
Did you graduate that time?
I graduated 2 years before. 2 years before
you.
You
graduated in 88?
I graduated in 88.
How did I know? We've known each other for this long. I never knew that. But I digress. So 1990, top technology for music recording is cassette, right? Even like mm-hmm. by the mid-90s, you and I were both using cassette 4-tracks. They sounded great. I mean, you could do a lot on a cassette. By the end of the 90s, it started going digital. So you had mini discs and zip discs and all that kind of stuff. And that is in like 8 years. I think that started cropping up probably between 95 and 98. So let's call it 5 to 8 years. You have a huge shift in recording technology. Now,
well, I know. Yeah. I did my first actual hard drive recording in like 99. The first actual recording I came out of the 16-channel mixer I had into a Y-jack and into the back of my computer and actually recorded on my hard drive for the first time in 99. So yeah, that's not far off.
See, I really didn't start that till probably more like between 2000 and 2001, I think. Right? 2000, 2001, somewhere. But I mean, in a decade, look how fast the technology changed. And up to that point, it hadn't. You know, if you look at from 1950 to 1990, 40-year time frame, it was vinyl, it was some tape, and that was really the thing. I mean, you know, 8-track versus cassette, but other than that, it didn't change much.
I think the gear definitely improved in that time frame.
Oh, heck yeah.
So there were leaps and strides, if you will, as far as like gear and sound and that sort of thing. It's just the accessibility changed when we could all of a sudden do it on our hard drives. Because I mean, you remember my Marantz four-track.
Yeah. Still one of the best sounding 4-tracks out there.
And you know, I paid like $500 or $600 for that thing. You know, on top of all the other gear I had, plus you had to have speakers, plus you had to have.
Right.
It wasn't as expensive as a regular studio, but it was still fairly expensive if you were an at-home DIY musician. So the fact that most people already have a computer and that you can now record on it, and Audacity is not a terrible program. Audacity makes decent recordings.
Speak for yourself on that one. I hate Audacity. Like I didn't say
I liked it, but you can do decent recordings through Audacity.
That's fair. That's fair. That's true. That's absolutely true.
So,
I just don't like Audacity. That's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. Welcome to the Aaron Hates Audacity podcast.
Hate's such a strong word. I'm just not a fan in the least.
Dislikes.
Yeah, really dislike. You know, but I digress. So, you know, it is looking good. Maybe the music industry is going to turn around or at least pick up steam and, you know, kind of expand, rise like a phoenix from the ashes, maybe. And that brings us, Sue, to our topic here. So we got about 10 minutes or so to hash this out. And why, you know, with you being on here, and I've known you now since 92, right?
Something like that. Some ridiculous amount of time. I think I was 22 or 23 when we met. So
so 92, so we're talking now. Oh wow, it's over 20 some years, huh?
Yeah, it is.
In that time, right? So let's think about things. So you are a woman in metal.
I am.
We hear about misogyny all the time in the music industry, and I mean, you know, so many things are coming out now in Hollywood. And what I find funny, and I don't mean funny like haha, I mean like funny like ugh, or like really you're not buying this, but everybody knew about the casting couch. It's been like the silent joke for years. Everybody joked about it. People finally started coming by and be like, yes, this is happening, and people are finally taking action. So, you know, I want to know, what's it like for you now as a woman being a metalhead, which is typically a very male dominated industry role, versus, you know, maybe what it was like 20 years ago.
So, wow. So as far as, I'm going to take the first half of that first.
Okay.
So as far as misogyny now, honestly, I don't see it. The guy who gave me the money to Tim Buss down in, beautiful downtown West Virginia somewhere. Sorry, Tim, I forgot the name of the town. Anyway, Tim Buss, the gentleman who bankrolled the start of the album to get the project rolling, is a guy. Dave Sykett, my recording engineer and now producer, is, well, he's a guy. Jeremy, my drummer, is, well, he's a guy. Rob, one of my two main photographers, is a guy. Margie's also a girl, but, you know, going with the theme here, almost everyone that has, you know, Margie's the other photographer,
right.
Almost everyone that is involved in making this project what it is a guy. When I did my kind of pre-listen, pre-release party last year, we did it at my fencing club. Yeah, the metalhead plays with swords. Go figure. Anyway, we did it at my fencing club, which is owned by, help me out now, guys. So I don't personally see the misogyny, even right down to my guitar teachers. I used to take lessons from the now assistant head of the guitar department at Duquesne University, and he actually encouraged me at one point to apply for a scholarship there, thinking that I would make it. So I never really saw that misogyny.
So why do you think that is, right? So why do you think you've had a different experience than, honestly, like a lot of people?
Well, I think the difference in experience is the difference in person. When I was in high school, for example, and I first started getting serious about guitar, I got a lot of, oh, you play guitar? And honestly, I attributed that to the fact that I was overweight and I wasn't one of the cool kids. I didn't attribute it to the fact that I was a woman or a girl at that point. I think the difference is and here's the thing. I think the difference is with women who, I don't want to say compete in the male world, but women who succeed in a male dominated world. And it is a male dominated world. That does not mean it's misogynistic. But I think the women who succeed in that succeed because they just do their thing. And that's what I did. I was a guitarist and I did the guitar thing. I was not satisfied with doing three chord punk, so a lot of the other, I used to joke with, actually you probably remember these jokes. I used to joke with the guys, like, you guys get Eric Clapton, Eddie Van Halen, you get, Brian May, you get all these phenomenal guitarists. I get Joan Jett.
I like Joan Jett. I'm a big fan.
I'm not saying Joan Jett is an awful musician. I'm saying as far as guitar parts go, yeah, it's three chords and done.
Well, you get Lita Ford. Lita Ford's pretty badass.
Yeah, we get Lita Ford. I also got Leona Boyd, but for the most part, I had to find the Leona Boyds and the Emily Remlers and the Charos, outside of the music that I listened to. The music that I listened to was, your Chrissy Hynde, your Joan Jett's for the most part, the three chords, four chords and done. Heart is a very notable exception, and Heart was actually still is one of my favorite bands. But there were a lot of women who just did the chord strumming thing, and I was never satisfied with that. It's not what I wanted for myself. It's not where I wanted to be. So I worked very hard at trying to be the best guitarist I could be and learning as much about the instrument and learning as much about music and as much as creating a work of art when I wrote a song as I could, and not just bang out three chords and done.
So you bring up a really good point here, and I don't want to let this get away, as you talk about like the relatability, right? Because I was a guitar teacher at the same time you were a guitar teacher, and I feel like I probably had at one point an equal number of male and female students, and it just really depended on who stuck with it, what they wanted to do with it, kind of thing. And I do think a lot of it is relatability. Now that you're bringing that up, like, you really have to search. So do you think, like, having, well, now somebody like yourself, but also somebody like Anita Strauss, who's really, and I mean, let's take Lizzie Hale. So those are two female guitar players that I really respect, and not because they're female guitar players, but because they're badass on their instruments, right?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely,
you have these women that are, they could go toe to toe with any male guitarist out there. And I feel like, do you think we're starting to see more of an equality across the players? Do you think we're going to see more people step up like that? Or do you think these are anomalies?
So I don't know that equality is the right word.
Okay.
I think it's realization.
Tell me more.
I think it's the realization that, you know, traditionally speaking, women have played piano and sang. Right.
Fair. Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the deal. Like, you had to parlay instruments, and that was what they were supposed to do to get a guy, really.
Right. You know? And so I don't think that it's, I think it's a realization. I think it's a, oh, hey, I don't have to do this thing. I can do that thing. And that thing's just way cooler. I know when I was six, and I know you've heard the story, Aaron, but when I was six, my dad had a classical guitar that just collected dust in the corner. I used to pick it up and noodle on it and try and play it. So my parents went to get me lessons, and the idiots at the music store are like, now put her on piano. So that didn't work because I'm Irish and German. So anyway, so that didn't work at all. I just fought until I had no more piano lessons, and I kept noodling on the guitar. It was just that drive, that realization that the guitar is what I wanted to do. I was 6 years old. It wasn't because, you know, I was watching cool rock stars. You know, when I was 6 years old, most of the rock stars were really ugly. So that wasn't it. Just saying.
That was definitely pre-MTV era.
That is definitely pre-MTV era, before all the guys got all nice and pretty. But it is, you know, my first experience listening to an actual guitarist was actually Charo. And it was either on the Donnie and Marie show, dear Lord, I hope not, or more likely Carol Burnett, that I saw Charo play Spanish guitar for the first time. And if you've ever heard me play guitar, that probably explains a lot. But that was my first exposure to a real guitarist, was Charo playing solo flamenco. And so for me, I didn't have to realize it. I was just like, yep, that's going to be me. Only cooler.
and without all the jokes. Well, maybe still some of the jokes.
I do still have some of the jokes. Only I think hers are actually better.
You know, it's funny. Like, I didn't realize that Charo was a serious musician until you pointed out and sent me some video of her playing. I'm like, holy crap. Because, you know, growing up, and I don't know how I missed the playing aspect, but I guess I only ever saw stuff that Charo was in where it was just the personality, you know? And that fiery spirit of personality. So that's what I've always associated. When you said she played guitar, I'm like, for real? You know?
I actually remember that conversation.
Yeah.
I actually remember that conversation. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Oh, that was a big shock for me. So let's see here. I mean, I guess we've really kind of put this topic to bed, right?
I mean, I think it is. And if I had to sum up, I don't think there's anything different going on. I think people are just realizing that there are other options, and those options are open to them. And it's not just for one or the other. I mean, I have never been a stereotypical woman, if you will.
No, you don't take any shit. And I think that attributes a lot to your success too. You really don't take any shit.
I don't, or I try not to, although I have gotten a lot nicer about not taking any shit lately.
Well, everybody says they mellow with age, you know.
But
I mean, you know, since we're on the record here, let's point out the fact that, you know, not only do you sword fight now, but you've also been into martial arts for years.
Yes.
And, you know, you used to kick my ass on a regular basis.
Yes.
You know, so you're definitely not, you know, what the stereotypical woman was in the 90s.
No.
But I think that's important, because you've got to have somebody that breaks the stereotype. I mean, let's look at Eddie Van Halen. Eddie Van Halen broke the stereotype for guitar players and pushed it to a new level.
Right. But here's the thing. Anybody who succeeds is breaking the barrier in some form.
And we need more of that, you know.
You know, whether it's Steve Jobs, whether it's Bill Gates, you know, they're all breaking the mold in some fashion. It doesn't necessarily mean man or woman. It just means that there are You know, that there are people who are willing to push and push and push until good things happen. And I think that's the other thing, is just don't give up. You know, there certainly, and you've heard some of my earlier pieces of music, which were, oh, awful. You know, way back when I thought I was the second coming of Mozart, and it turned out to not be true.
Some of it was a little atonal, but you know.
Some of it. Anyway, you know, there was this drive in me that I never gave up. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I was supposed to do, and I wasn't going to stop until I did it. And I think in the world of victimhood and instant gratification, we've lost that. I really feel that a society by and large, particularly here in the States, has lost that spirit, that never quitting, never giving up spirit.
Well, and you know, that's a really good point. And we're going to get out of here real quick, so I'm going to keep this short. But I mean, think about what your grandfather or your great grandfather, you know, like, you need a legal decree. He didn't quite say, okay, fine, I'm a decree.
Exactly.
You know, it didn't stop him. Like, all right, fine. That's what we'll do.
We need to do the thing. We're going to do the thing. That's great. We did the thing. Moving on.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right?
Right.
All right. So, Sue, let's get out of here. Tell our listeners where they can check out your stuff at.
So, website, digregoriomusic.com, digregoriomusic.com. There is a Facebook page in the works. I haven't quite gotten it up and running yet, but that is DiGregorio PGH. And there will be Twitter also in the works, which I haven't quite gotten around to, but it is DI_PGH.
All right. Thank you for that. And listeners, don't forget, check us out tomorrow night, purerockradio.net. Check their page for the schedule, because with the time, I forgot to look. I think it's going to be 8 p.m. Eastern. Who knows? Like, you know, time changes. Rich explained it to me. He's probably listening to this laughing at me right now. But so check it out. We talked to Matt from Untimely Demise, and also another project that he's in. So you're going to hear us talk about that, as well as a couple more topics. And so, Sue, again, can't thank you enough.
You are very welcome. Thank you for having me, and rock on, everybody.
And that's the lunch break.